This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday. Oh my goodness, we did it. We made it to the end of the week.
Yeah!
Put a smile on your beautiful face or ugly face. I mean, I can't see you right now. And just sit back and enjoy 3 hours of greatness tonight. We're going to talk about these judges throwing roadblocks in front of Trump. By the way, these are all your questions. All 3 hours, as always, belong to you on the Jesse Kelly Show on Friday. So you have questions about these judges. Someone saw political ads for Bill Cassidy in Louisiana, making a point that I've been making over and over again. Someone wants to know how a strict father like mine raised a, quote, finicky eater. Elon Musk blowing up at people in public. Someone wants to know if you can change that. School security, or stool security, I guess, for your kid. How do we do this when you have a school that needs secured? How'd I end up in Houston? Tim Kaine's an evil demon. All that and so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. And before we go any further, and before I forget, I've been teasing all week long that Monday, the competition begins. Competition makes us all better. And on Monday, we tackle the real issues that matter. We tackle the question that's been on the front of your mind. What is the crappiest country in the world?
It's the 2025 Crappiest Country in the World competition.
The full bracket, if you would like to see it, is complete. It is up on the show's Twitter account or X account, whatever you call it, at Jesse Kelly Show. And I have neglected to mention this, just in case you think we're just being mean here. We're not being mean. At the end of this amazing tournament, the tournament of tournaments, we, the Jesse Kelly Show family, are going to be putting together a special gift for the winner. How about that? Don't think it's all negative. We're going to be doing something good for other people. Stand by for that. Let's dig into your questions, Jesse. It won't be long. The subject is relentless judges. It won't be long before they sue Donald Trump for getting out of the wrong side of the bed. In the name of a just, merciful God.
Please stop this. In the name of a just, merciful God.
Can we put these pathetic political lawsuits to rest? Okay, so I wanted to address this because I know you're probably wearing down on the judges. The judges stopping this and the judges stopping that and the judges ruling against Trump this. And that's understandable. But it's not as bad as you think. And it's getting better. So let me explain this in the most basic terms. And I'm not dumbing this down for you. I'm dumbing this down because I'm dumb. So I had to reach out to all kinds of legal experts. And I've talked to so many of them to make sure I'm presenting this accurately. So here's what it is. Okay? There are different ways for a lower court judge to stop the president. For a lower court to stop the president, all right? There are different ways. I'll just leave it that way. There are different ways. The Supreme Court in light of what they were doing immediately after Trump got elected. You remember, I mean, the judges are making these absurd rulings. Hey, bring back this illegal and things like that. They kept making these over-the-top absurd rulings. So the Supreme Court stepped up and stepped in, kind of. Meaning, let's say there were 100 of these bad rulings from lower court judges. What the Supreme Court essentially did was stop 50 of them. It's two different types. They stopped some of them. They did not stop all. We have fewer of these than we had before because the Supreme Court already stepped in and ruled somewhat that you can't keep doing this. Now, here's what happens, and we get confused. I do too. I'm not pointing fingers. We get confused because of headlines and social media posts. You wake up in the morning, you roll over, you grab your phone. I know you do, don't lie. And you start looking at the news of the day. What are the headlines? Was there some controversy? What's going on in the world? And you'll see something on Facebook. You'll see something on a news site you go to, something on Twitter. You'll see something to the effect of lower court rules against Trump. Trump not allowed to deport this person. Trump not allowed to. And we don't get past the headlines. And even if we do, the article itself is confusing. What lower court? Is this an actual ruling? Is this an actual? So here's what I'm going to tell you about the courts and the judges. Oh, the Fifth Circuit ruled this. Don't freak out over any headline in a good way or a bad way. Headlines are, look, it's like an advertiser trying to get you in the door. Come on down to Jesse Ford on this Sunday. Get some free nachos. They're just trying to get you in the door. All right? That's what headlines are, getting you in the door. The legal matters are complicated. There will be a ruling by some judge, but it's a ruling that's only temporary. It's 24 hours. It has to go to a different court, and then it gets to that court, and the court makes an initial observation, but that's not an official ruling. And then, but every time they're doing these things, there's a headline, Trump stopped. But then that's not an official thing either because it has to go to another court. Then it'll get to the Supreme Court, and then the Supreme Court will say, no, we can't rule on this in this way. This has to go back down to the lower courts before we can rule on this. And they'll kick it to a lower court who might kick it to a lower court. But then it moves up to another court. It moves up to another court. This was all I chose to answer this question because it is something I have learned over the last 4 or 5 years that has saved my energy. It has saved my outrage meter a great deal because we only have so much in the tank, right? Don't ever freak out too much one way or the other on court rulings, judge rulings, judge, it stops this, court stops that. It's never as drastically good or drastically bad as the headline makes it out to be. It's just not. It makes for a great headline. It makes for a great thing to click on, but it's never all that. I mean, look, and even ones that are awesome and huge and like the overturning of Roe versus Wade, the Dobbs decision. Of course, you know I'm a big fan because I hate abortion. Everyone knows that. And that's great. I'm not complaining about it, but you've heard me say a million times, it didn't even slow down abortions. Not numbers-wise. In red states, they're cleaning it out and Planned Parenthoods are closing, and it was good, it was good, it was good, it was good, it was good. But it's tempting, and I'll tell you what, I did it. The day Roe versus Wade got overturned, I sat back and thought, oh, that's millions of lives saved. Abortion will now slowly but surely start to die in the country, and it'll be gone. Oh, thank goodness that whole abortion thing is over. That's not true at all. As you've heard me say, there's as many now as there have ever been. I'm not going to go off on abortion right now, but it's an example. When the courts rule, don't freak out too much or too little. Now, there are very, very, very important rulings that will happen. For instance, maybe the most important ruling we're waiting on and we don't know. I'm not telling you I know when it's going to come. No one knows when it's going to come or even if it's going to come. Is the birthright citizenship ruling? The fact that the United States of America allows women to come into this country illegally just to have a baby and automatically grants that baby citizenship is bonkers. It's completely insane. But Democrats have, of course, with the help of Republicans like James Lankford, Democrats have used that to change the United States of America demographically so it's not so far to the right, so they'll be more accepting of communism. Thus, that's the only reason Democrats can get elected at any level in the country. Now, that's a ruling that is gigantic. Honestly, that might be the biggest Supreme Court ruling you'll ever have in your life. No matter how long you live, no matter how old you are, if we could actually get a good ruling on that, that would change everything. Everything. Anyway, I don't want to go off on a tangent on that. Let's talk about these fake GOP guys. I'm super mega. Next.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. I can't get the smile off my face, and I'm just trying not to think about the fact that we have to leave the house at 6:30 a.m. on a Saturday for another kid's sports tournament tomorrow. You know, they tell me I'll miss it when it's gone, but I don't think that's true. I'm kidding. I do enjoy it. Bronco, I'm ashamed I watched the Eagles game last night. But I see a political ad for Bill Cassidy. As you predicted, the whole ad was about the great things he and Trump have done. Put another feather in your cap, says his name is Ken. Politicians lie. That's not news. It's not news and it's not new. Chris, is that an old line? Did I steal that from somebody? Because if not, I'm totally using that again. You never heard it before? It's mine now. You know what? I just came up with that. I probably didn't, but now I'm claiming it. It's not news and it's not new. Politicians lie. Now, there's a benefit that we have that historically other peoples have not had. Now, it's a two-way street. It could be great and it can be terrible, but information, access to information. It sounds like access to information is always good, right? Wouldn't it be better to always know more, always be able to access more information? But if that's the case, what explains the fact that people are dumber now about virtually everything, economics, history, everything? They're dumber than they've ever been when your phone can provide you with the answer to virtually any question you have about anything in life. You have the biggest, greatest library in the history of the world in the palm of your hand, and we're dumber than we've ever been. Access to information should be great. Sometimes it's not. But I don't want to get off on a sidetrack. We have the ability now, if we care enough to do so, to find out what politicians are really about, what they really do, what they really say. I've told you this before, and I know it sounds patronizing or like I'm sucking up, but anyone who listens to the show knows I'm a jerk who wouldn't do that anyway. You don't understand how much more informed you are about the players, about the game, than normal people because you care. And that's what gets me to my point about Bill Cassidy and John Cornyn and Mike Rounds and all these GOP turds who screw us over all the time. The truth about these people, about Lindsey Graham, and all the truth about these people is available right at your fingertips. Right, honestly, that's not even being over the top about it. It's in your fingertips. In your fingertips, you have the ability, if you care enough to do so, to access all the information about what Bill Cassidy's really about. You could go look at his political donations. Did you know that? It's not just Jewish producer Chris who has special access to that. That's public information. Anybody can go on the FEC website and go look at all the political donations of your congressman, your senator. Do you know how much they receive from this? Do you know? Everybody has access to this information. The problem is laziness and stupidity. Laziness and stupidity. And this actually comes back to what we were talking about in the opening of the show. We, with access to endless information, we are still headline consumers. And I have to fight against this myself. I'm not above it. Believe me. We are headline consumers. We read a flashy headline and we think we got actual information from it. Or, even worse, we trust the wrong person in this business. And now we just took a lie, hook, line, and sinker. There was actually a little hubbub about this yesterday on social media. I won't bore you with the details, but long story short, these huge people with large platforms, all within the span of a couple hours, put out the exact same pro-India message. Not that there's anything wrong with being pro-India, but a little sentence here, a little sentence there, but it was obvious they all had been given talking points, they had all been paid, and they all put out the exact same message. And we're probably talking, I didn't add it up, 10, 20 million followers between these people. Now do the math on that. 20 million people were just browbeaten with the exact same message that's paid for propaganda. But you read the message, you read it on Facebook, you read it on Twitter, you read it or wherever you consume your news. And well, I follow this guy and a lot of people follow this guy. If he's saying it, it must be true. And then lies get spread and everybody who believes it is dumb and everybody who spreads it, everyone they spread it to is dumb. Meaning you're dumber having consumed the lie that was paid for propaganda. Guys like Bill Cassidy stay in the United States Senate because people believe the 30-second TV commercial that he produced and paid $5 million for, showing him to be Mr. MAGA. I'm MAGA this, I'm MAGA that. I love Trump, and Trump loves me and Trump, and Trump and me. And the GOP primary voter sits at home watching it on the news. I like Bill. He likes Trump like I do. And 70% go vote for the same turd who screws you over every single time. We have got to break the cycle of being headline readers and dig deeper. Dig deeper. I'm preaching to the choir. You're already listening. But we have to encourage our GOP voting friends to dig deeper, to wade past the headlines. You want to dig deep? Acquire wisdom? Hillsdale gives it to you for free, not $5 million. This weekend, when you are scrolling headlines, maybe on your way to a brutal kids sports tournament, Hillsdale College can make you wiser. Look, I told you I'm leaving at 6:30 a.m. tomorrow morning. I already told my sons, get ready to learn about the history of the Roman Republic. Hillsdale College offers more than 40 free online courses, and we have an hour and 15-minute drive both ways tomorrow morning. As soon as I get in my car, Bluetooth hooks up to my phone, we will be learning from Hillsdale both ways. When tomorrow is over, my boys and me will be wiser than when the day began for free. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. Go sign up. Free. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, a fantastic Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can still email us. We are live here on a Friday night or a Saturday morning, depending on how you're listening. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com is the email address. Let's do some personal ones. Hey, Jesse, I'm a little behind listening to the podcast. You mentioned how Elon publicly fought with Donald Trump, and you warned listeners to cut people out of their lives who air private arguments. My question is, what if I've been that person? I did that once to someone and have since regretted it. I'm not asking because I want to get back in their life or anything. I've let it go, but I also don't want to be that kind of person. Does one mistake mean you're always a crazy person who can't be trusted or will always resort to publicly airing out private business? I'm genuinely trying to better myself. I want to know your thoughts on whether it's possible to truly change and grow from a mistake like that. His name's Samuel. Samuel, people screw up. Everybody screws up. I don't sit around dwelling on all the things that I've screwed up in my life. And you know why I don't? Because it would be the most depressing thing in the world. I am 44 years old, and I have done more horrible crap. And I don't want to say, I was about to say mistakes. I've made more mistakes. But honestly, I meant to do a lot of them. I don't think it's right to call them a mistake. I knew that was bad. I knew that was wrong. And I did it anyway. And you know, that's everybody. Every single person has a lifetime of that crap that you can, if you let it, it can weigh you down forever. Of course you can change. Of course you can change. Look, you felt bad about it. You screwed up. Never do it again. Never, ever, ever do it again. And that's it. Move on with your life. Don't sit and beat yourself to death over something you did one time. Of course you could. You've probably, that you're even asking the question means you already changed. Jesse, how in the world did your dad raise such a finicky eater? His name's Chuck. So, this is something that people debate this all the time. Nature versus nurture. And it'll always be a debate. How human beings, forming good human beings, trying to raise good children, raise good human beings. What's the formula? And is there a formula? There's some mixture, I think everybody would admit. You can't take a child when they're born and, you know, throw them out in the wilderness and have them raise up and know anything about manners or things like that. So that doesn't work either. But any parent with multiple children will tell you that they are different. My eyes are more open to me after raising my children. You see, I have two boys, James and Luke. James is my oldest. He's the one who can't sit still. He's the one who likes running. Gets up at 5:30 a.m. and runs every morning. It's wild. He has to move. It's awesome. I'm not that way, but it's awesome. He is the greatest eater I've ever seen in my life besides Aubrey. It is astounding. He will sit down and he'll tear through chicken, steak. He'll eat all his broccoli and ask for seconds. He will, now don't get me wrong, he likes his junk food too on occasion. He will refuse it when I offer it, especially now it's cross-country season. Hey, should we, it happened to me last weekend. Hey, you guys want to go out for pizza? I was doing something. Boys, you want to go grab a pizza? Nah, I got a race tomorrow. That's James. There's no time in my life in 44 years on this planet I would ever say no to pizza under any circumstances whatsoever. James is all, nah, I'm trying to stay healthy. Okay. You can say that's how we raised him. Okay. Sure. I would agree. Somewhat. But then there's the other kid, Luke. Just like me. Broccoli? Nah, I'm going to slip that to the dog under the table. That's disgusting. When he was a child, we used to, you know, trying to make him eat his veggies, trying to make him eat whatever. That's the rule. You eat what's made. When Ob makes dinner, you sit down, you eat what's made. And he would refuse. And we used to make him sit there until he ate it. He would sit there until bedtime. We finally stopped doing it. It would be 2-3 hours. He's sitting at the table, and he's just going to sit there. I brought that up to my parents, and they laughed hysterically because my parents used to do the exact same thing to me with the exact same results. You sit there and you finish your meal. It's not like they were soft on it. You sit there and finish your meal. Don't get up till it's done. All right, I'll sit here all night. I will sit here all night at the table before I eat those freaking disgusting vegetables. I know that we can guide children on how they eat. And I know that we all can improve somewhat how we eat. Believe it or not, I have improved immensely how I eat. I don't eat near as much fast food as I used to, and I get way more nutrients, courtesy of chalk and things like that, than I used to. But I'm never going to be op. I'm never going to order asparagus as a side. No, bring me some French fries, please. Do you have mac and cheese? I can't do it. I'm not going to do it. My parents tried. And it's not like we had any money if he doesn't want to eat the chicken and lima beans, let's just order in. And there was no ordering in. That's what you got. That was the food. I'll starve. I'd rather starve. Luke has puked on his dinner table before when we forced him to eat vegetables. That's how gross they are to him. And people who like vegetables don't understand those of us. That's exactly how I react to. I did too. Lima beans down, lima beans coming back up. People who aren't like that can't understand it. All right, let's talk about something more serious here after that little sidetrack. School safety. Every parent, in the wake of these horrible school shootings, every single parent, myself included, we all think, what if that happened at my kid's school? What if that happened to my kid? We all go through the mental exercise of, oh, dear God, what if I got that phone call one day? What if that happened? Every single parent, it's just natural, thinks about it. And when one happens, you know, a shooting at a Catholic school, a bunch of kids worshiping Jesus, and now there's some animal killing them. But it was so palpably awful that in the wake of it, we start asking, am I ready? Is my church ready for something like that? Is my synagogue, Chris, ready for something like that? I don't know how you guys are doing over there. Is my kid's school? And by the way, preschool, kindergarten, private school, public school, Christian school. Is your child's school ready for a demon to show up with a gun and try to bring people with him as he chooses to exit this world? And the answer to that question is oftentimes no. And we got a very, very, very heartfelt email from a mother here, and I'm gonna address it, and maybe we can have a serious talk about security and school and what you do and bravery and things like that. Before we do that, let's do this. Speaking of bravery, I know you nerd out on the MacV SOG stories whenever I get sidetracked on those. Just the bravest dudes in the world. Behind enemy lines, Vietnam, fighting a secret war, dying in droves. The CEO of Pure Talk did it twice. Two tours. It's amazing he's alive. Two tours in MacV SOG is usually one more than you survive. He did it, came back, and now he runs Pure Talk. Why in the world would you have AT&T or T-Mobile when you can patronize a company like that? A company that never gives to these dirty cultural commie causes ever. When they give to vets. They care about the country. Care so deeply about the country, they cost themselves money by hiring Americans. Isn't that freaking wonderful? Isn't that the kind of company you want to patronize? Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. It's time to switch. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Why are you bringing this up?
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday. I'm so happy that Jewish producer Chris put not one, but two bits of that James Carville sound on the soundboard. Gosh, it's so
Please
great.
Please stop this in the name of a just, merciful God.
All right, let's get to the email. Focus. We've got to talk about security and bravery. Jesse, I'm a mom in a suburb of Minneapolis. I have a child who goes to a Christian school. The events of last week hit me pretty hard. After being angry at the media and politicians, there are two things that have been on my mind. One, how can we instill bravery in our children? I learned about one young man who covered his friend and took a bullet in the back to keep him safe. A young lady also shielded her friend to keep her safe. There was another young man who got everyone around him under the pew and said prayers for safety and then told himself he needed to get them to safety and jumped into action to help kids get out of church. These acts of extreme bravery from these kids brought me to tears and made me wonder what things I could do to help instill that in my own child. Let's address this first, because this is something you've heard me talk about before on the show. Oftentimes it comes after Medal of Honor Monday when we sit here together and we learn about some hero who does something absurdly brave, and we say, how do I make my sons like that? I want that for my sons. I want them to be like that. We talked about it, those two Navy SEALs who gave their lives. They were boarding a ship. One of them, apparently the water was very, very bad, very stormy. It was, I mean, the ocean was a death trap. And one goes into the water, and the other one, without hesitation, dives into hell to save his buddy. They both died, but what bravery. Oh, my buddy's in there. I'm going in. How do you do that? More specifically, how do you raise that? And I don't have the answer to that question. I want the answer to that question. But my boys are 14 and 16, and by the grace of God, they've never been in that kind of situation. I will say that you want them to have that. Probably goes a long way. I have pointed out before, you know how much time I spend on Medal of Honor stuff, and we read that stuff, and we dig into it, and oftentimes I read into the background of it. And I'm always reading books and things. It is crazy how often these Medal of Honor, Distinguished Service Cross, all these guys who earn these medals for valor, ridiculous valor to do brave things, crazy how often dad was that guy. My dad was in World War II. My dad's been a cop for 30 years. My dad did that. My dad did that. My dad did this. And moms too, of course. But these guys grow up and they learn from mom and dad that bravery is a good thing. And look, I'll tell you this. I've taught my sons. I've asked them before. Hey, God forbid there's a shooter comes into your school. What are you going to do? You're going to look out for yourself. You're going to look out for others. If you have to sacrifice yourself to save somebody, will you? And you can see their little minds churning, right? But and I try as best I can to get it through to them. You are supposed to look out for others as a man. I don't care that you're 14 or 16. In that situation, you're the man. Are you going to look out for others? I don't know that that's effective. You can see their minds working. Talk to them about it. Maybe just talk to them about it. Now, finally, for the other part. Jesse, how can I push the school my child attends to be more vigilant about security? I've been providing feedback on my concerns, but they seem to think with locked doors and intruder drills, everyone can be okay. What can we do as parents and the community to push for increased safety for our children? If your school has nothing but locked doors, if your school does not have some form of armed guard, and by the way, this goes for your church, your synagogue, your wherever, there are demons in our midst. And let's have an honest conversation about the tranny stuff. I'm not trying to be mean here. We have socially conditioned, mentally ill people in this country to embrace darkness in a way you can't imagine. We took somebody who was struggling, Maybe it's a child, a teenager, maybe it's an adult. We took someone who was struggling with mental health issues of some kind. And instead of getting them help, we started pouring sick psychiatric drugs into them, possibly even to the point of them chopping body parts of themselves off to themselves. We took a human who was struggling and turned that human into a freaking monster. And those people are not gone. The latest school shooter blowing his head off after he's done doing something terrible, don't for a second breathe a sigh of relief and say, wow, glad they're gone. This has been years. Doctors have been doing this. Schools have been doing this to children. Psychiatrists have been doing this. Parents have been doing this. These people are out there. If your school or your synagogue or your church or if you do not have an armed security guard with a gun, if they don't have one, you need to make it happen. Make it happen today. Now, how do you go about doing that? This is a lady, but you have voiced your concerns. Your schools said they seem to think it's okay. This is where we have to learn from communists because they do this so, so well. They understand the power of numbers and noise. Numbers and noise, it has power. Okay, they ignored you. How many friends do you have? How many mothers who have children in that school and fathers, how many mothers and fathers are interested in additional security? Probably a lot. Have you texted them? Have you talked to them? You need to organize clearly you aren't enough, but that's fine. Get a group. The next time you show up at school, not you, 10 of you, 20 of you, how many times do you think the principal or administrator of that school has had 10 angry parents in his office? Let me spoil it. Never. It's never happened. He's a human being. She's a human being. That happens, they start taking things seriously. No, we need an appointment. We need an appointment. We have something we need to discuss. Not just you, a group of you. No, you fix this. That's my kid. You fix it. And the same thing with your church. Don't let your naive pastor, I'm sure we're fine. Jesus is it. No. Jesus and firearms. You need them both. Where are they? Get it done. And Chris, definitely you people. Everyone's always trying to kill you people. Get it done. And get your legacy box done too. At least get the box in your house. Those pictures and videos, they need to be digitized. Everything has to be digitized. And I know when you think about digitizing grandpa's picture in the wall, it sounds like a pain because you have to pull down the picture, you have to take it out of the frame, and then you have to send it away. And who wants to do that? And let me tell you, it is a freaking pain. It's a pain. And then when you get it back, you have to put it back. That sucks, doesn't it? You know what sucks worse? Losing it forever. What would suck even worse is your grandkids never getting to see grandpa. Picture got lost. Someone else got it. They don't even know what he looks like. I got one picture of my grandpa Jack digitally. One picture. Because I don't remember him. Give it to your children and their children. Let Legacy Box digitize your home videos, your hard pictures, your VHS tapes, your Super 8 films. Order the box. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.